Today is Wednesday, March the 19th, 2025. Welcome to the award-winning Personal Computer Show. I'm Hank Key. Big Tech has been collecting and aggregating your personal data. Do you know how big tech companies and our government are using your personal data? We have been bringing computer news, hardware and software reviews, guest interviews, and news of user group meetings for the past 40-plus years. The Personal Computer Show is a 3-time winner of the prestigious National Computer Press Awards. Our only advocacies are consumerism and the First Amendment. I welcome you, the listeners, to provide feedback as to what you want to hear. Address your suggestions to Hank at pcradioshow.org. Our website is pcradioshow.org. We are heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.live, that's PRN.live, streaming on the Internet. Podcasts of the program is available on PRN.live on the Internet. You can leave us a message with your questions or comment at hank@pcradioshow.org. The Trenton Computer Festival, also called TCF, was founded in 1976, is the oldest personal computer show in the world. Well, times have changed. The College of New Jersey, which is TCNJ, has decided that this will be its last year as TCF sponsor and organizer. The School of Engineering and Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering takes this opportunity to recognize and reflect on this moment. And they released the following statement. The College of New Jersey School of Engineering invites you to join us at TCF 2025 to celebrate the storied history of the Trenton Computer Festival, which is the longest-running festival for computers and technology in the world. This year, we mark the end of our decades-long role as the event's organizer and sponsor, and 2025 will be the only running of TCF without its co-founder and driving force and our colleague, Dr. Al Katz. We want to take this moment to recognize the outsized impact that Dr. Katz has had on the success of TCF, leading it through periods of exponential growth and regularly attracting industry luminaries like John Markley, who designed the first electronic computer, Gary Kildor, developed the first microcomputer operating system, Brian Kernighan, who coined the term Hello World, Richard Stallman, Free Software Foundation and GNU, Bill Gates of Microsoft, Bjorn Strautstrup, inventor of C++, and this year, Dale Dougherty, founder of Make Magazine, the worldwide maker fairs, and the modern maker movement. Every year, Dr. Katz worked tirelessly to produce a varied program designed to appeal to a broad audience of tech enthusiasts. So we invite everyone to make an extra effort to be with us this year and share in this major milestone for TCF. At the conclusion of this year's festival, the Princeton Central Jersey section of IEEE, Computer Society, and the ACM will assume the role of TCF organizer and sponsor, and thus a new era in TCF will begin. The Trenton Computer Festival, also called TCF, was founded in 1976, is the oldest personal computer show in the world. It is considered to be the first major fair for personal computer hobbyists. It was founded in 1976 at Trenton State College, now the College of New Jersey, by Saul Libus and Alan Katz. TCF 2025 will be held on March the 29th of this year, 2025, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., also known as the Trenton Computer Festival. TCF is the oldest and longest-running tech fair in the world. The theme of this year's festival is Fun with Technology. The keynote presentation will be by Dale Dougherty, founder of Make Magazine, the Maker Fairs, and the Worldwide Maker Movement. Scheduled are 10 tracks of technical talks. The talks will be streamed live and free. The recorded talks will be made available at a later date on the website tcf-nj.org. Additionally, there is a HamCram. Earn your ham license in one day. On-campus registration admission is $20. No problem if you had not pre-registered. You can still join the festival and register when you come in. And you'll have the opportunity to meet and greet the speakers at the festival. It wasn't in the original spec by Microsoft for Windows 11, but now Microsoft is saying for full functionality in Windows 11, you should have a neural processing unit, that's an NPU, and, well, if you bought a unit recently and it doesn't have an NPU, what do you do? Well, Lenovo has demonstrated an AI stick prototype that promises to give the power of AI to any PC thanks to a 32 TOPS NPU. Your Windows PC unit will need a Thunderbolt port, however, to make it work. Lenovo's AI stick connects to non-NPU PCs, adding AI power, and the pricing and availability remains currently unknown. The device is compact, around 3.5 inches in length, and requires a Thunderbolt port. If you want to benefit from on-device AI capabilities that aren't currently in the market for one of the many fancy new laptops with built-in NPUs, Lenovo is working on a couple of intriguing solutions. The first of these is the AI display, which is a screen that has a built-in discrete NPU that not only adds intelligent features to the monitor, but can also add AI functionality to non-AI laptops or desktops. The other is the AI stick, a small brick-like device that connects to any non-NPU equipped PC. Both of these concepts were showcased at the Mobile World Conference 2025, and while there's no word on pricing availability for either device yet, Lenovo has put an AI chip into a monitor that not only controls it, but can also give AI powers to your PC. Lenovo says that the AI stick, it will give users with a non-NPU equipped PC access to advanced AI features such as local large language models and AI-enhanced graphics apps on their device. The company goes on to explain that the device contains a 32 TOPS NPU rating that connects to a PC via a USB-C Thunderbolt port to allow the PC to use Lenovo AI Now functionalities. Lenovo AI Now is the PC maker personal assistant designed to boost productivity and automate tasks on the company's various AI-powered devices. While the AI stick, like the AI display, any PC you use on it will need a Thunderbolt port. Microsoft's push for integrating AI capabilities into Windows 11 has led to significant changes in hardware requirements and functionality. NPU, which is a neural processing unit, are specialized processors designed to handle AI-related tasks more efficiently than traditional CPUs or GPUs. Microsoft has been expanding its AI APIs to support NPUs as they become more common in PCs. Windows 11 Copilot Plus is an advanced feature set, including AI-driven tools that relies heavily on NPUs for optimal performance. While Windows 11 can run without an NPU, certain features such as AI-enhanced search, AI upscaling, and other advanced functionalities may not be available without one. Not all PCs sold with Windows 11 include an NPU. This has created a price differential between models with and without NPUs, as NPUs are still relatively new and add to the cost of the hardware. Microsoft has been promoting the benefits of NPU equipment PCs, emphasizing features like on-device AI processing for privacy and performance. For example, the recall feature in Windows 11 processes daily locally on the NPU, ensuring it never leaves a device. Microsoft has also made some AI features like voice clarity available on all Windows 11 devices, regardless of whether they have an NPU. For current PC owners, if your PC lacks an NPU, you can still use Windows 11, but you may miss out on some of the AI-driven features. Windows 11 is functional on PCs without an NPU. Investing in an NPU-equipped model or adding an NPU accessory can significantly enhance your experience with the operating system's AI capabilities. Additionally, the Lenovo NPU on a stick is an option that allows you to enhance your existing setup, enabling you to utilize the benefits of an NPU without needing to replace your entire system. It is expected that there will be other manufacturers offering NPU on a stick that may or may not require a Thunderbolt port. For future buyers, as NPUs become more common, they are likely to be a key consideration for users who want to take full advantage of Windows 11's AI capabilities. Google says it's rolling out FixNow for the stricken Chromecast. It'll take a few days, give or take your situation. As reported last week, Google asked second-generation Chromecast and Chromecast audio owners to not do a factory reset in these units. Google has told the Register it's beginning to roll out a fix for Chromecast devices that were crippled by an expired security certificate authority. They assured this deployment will take place over the next few days. On Sunday, March the 9th, users of the Chocolate Factory's second-generation Chromecast and Chromecast audio devices found their kit was not functioning with official Google apps. Some unofficial apps, including VLC, should still be working. The problem was traced back to Google's old device authentication certificate authority, which had expired that weekend after 10 years of validity and left a streaming kit flashing up an untrusted device error. Although there's no official message on the support page as yet, Google has confirmed that it will push out a patch over the internet to people's Chromecast during the next few days to address the error. Leave your cast powered on and connected to the net should be enough to pick up the fix. The firmware-level update moves the devices to a new Google-owned certificate authority with an expiration date set for 2045, meaning users should get another 20 years of use out of the devices. Chromecast as a product family was discontinued last year. It's not all plain sailing. Users who tried doing a factory reset to restore their gear, which wouldn't have worked as the certificate issue is baked into the firmware, won't be able to get the over-the-air fix immediately, as the expired certificate authority that affected the Chromecast rely on prevents them from being trusted enough to be reinitialized by Google's apps, which means some extra steps are likely needed, such as an update to Google's client software to push past the certificate issue and get the fixed firmware onto a stricken cast. The web giant did urge people to avoid factory resetting their gadgets, which was the initial advice given to them. The reset clears the user data. That reset means the device won't have any Wi-Fi or internet connectivity. The Google Home app does still appear to be enforcing the expired certificate, so won't be able to push an update. Fixing this will require a home update to stop it enforcing the certificate, but that should be a simple fix. Google's going to have trouble getting this to everyone, since devices need to be online to receive it. Also, this means they'll need to build updates for the other devices that are expiring soon: Chromecast Ultra, Google Home, Google Home Mini, and possibly some Chromecast-enabled smart TVs from other vendors. They were able to build a new image for a 10-year-old device in just 2 days. The aforementioned devices, also facing certificate expiry problems, aren't currently set to run into that quagmire until 2026 and 2027. Chromebook new features to let user set battery charge limit. There's a new feature coming to Chrome OS. The battery charge limit will help preserve battery health in your Chromebook. The update is coming with Chrome OS 134. Chrome OS has a new feature that has been popular on Pixel phones and could make your Chromebook last longer. The new software feature is part of Chrome OS 134. While there's a range of updates in Chrome OS 134, it's the battery charge limits that gets the attention of the Chrome OS subreddit via Digital Trends. Limiting the charge of the battery is a popular option, as it's one of the top ways to preserve battery health. Batteries don't last forever and can often be the culprit that ages your device. It's a battery that fails or decays through overuse. The best way to use one is to charge it and let it run down before you charge it again. And batteries don't like being fully charged and don't like being kept at full charge. This new feature will let you set a charge limit on your battery to 80%. It's a feature that's available on Pixel phones, having arrived in the December update to Android 15. And it's not unique to Pixel. Other manufacturers have similar solutions, either limiting the maximum charge allowed or scheduling the charging to match usage patterns, so the device isn't sitting on full charge for many hours. Fully charging increases the strain on the battery, along with increasing the heat, which can lead to faster degradation of the battery's ability to give and receive a charge. You might notice that if you have a fast charging phone, that the first half of the battery charges much faster than the second half, and that's a similar control system designed to manage battery health. You'll notice that charging battery speeds are given as 0 to 80%, where the fastest charging happens, rather than over the last 20%, which is intentionally slower to preserve the health of the battery. Back to the Chromebooks, and this move means that if you leave your laptop connected to the power all the time, you're not going to have that battery constantly strained, so it will last longer. The details also highlight that administrators will be able to manage this across a fleet of devices. So if you're in the school IT department, for example, where the Chromebooks are generally stored in a charging state, you can limit the battery charge level to make them last longer. Chrome OS 134 will soon be rolling out with a stable version that was just recently released, March 4th, 2025. The new Windows 11 update has a bug. It's the best bug that the OS has ever had, and no one's complaining about it. The new Windows 11 update accidentally wipes out Copilot. Windows 11 March 2025 update accidentally removes Copilot. Bug gives users control over Copilot presence. Microsoft is working on a resolution, and in the meantime, you can reinstall it from Microsoft Store. Most of the time, Windows bugs are a pain in the butt to deal with. However, once in a blue moon, Microsoft accidentally makes their operating system just that little bit better. If you're not a fan of Copilot, you'll be pleased to know that there's a bug with the March 2025 update that automatically deletes the AI assistant. Usually we hope that Microsoft fixes its bugs with efficiency and speed, but this time the company can take all the time they want. The new Windows 11 March 2025 update removes Copilot. Yep, you heard that correctly. A new bug in Windows 11 erases Copilot and unpins it from your taskbar. If you want it back, you can head to the Microsoft Store and re-download it. So essentially, the bug put Windows 11 in a state where users can opt into downloading Copilot instead of having it come pre-installed, which makes this bug the most user-considerate that Microsoft has been in years, even if it was accidental. If you're wondering why Microsoft has been so adamant about having Copilot on your PC, it's because the AI assistant appears to be the driving force behind the company's recent rebranding. In Microsoft's ideal world, every one of its apps and services come with Copilot button, which people can invoke whenever they have a question or get stuck on something. It's gotten so bad that Microsoft 365 has recently been rebranded to Microsoft 365 Copilot, and all of the old Office icons change to Copilot logos. Microsoft is adding Copilot to everything. It seems that Microsoft's strategy is to get people hooked on Copilot as their main source of information, and then they can drip-feed advertisements to gain revenue. The FBI warns of scam involving online file converter tools. The agency said scammers are using online converters to load malware onto users' devices and steal information. The FBI is sounding the alarm of an increase in scams involving online file converters, saying scammers are using those services to load malware onto users' devices and steal information. Denver 7 investigator Natalie Chuck spoke with an FBI agent about what to watch for. It's a situation which many of us can relate. Being stuck trying to download a video from YouTube or convert a document into a PDF. A host of online services claim to be able to convert them for free. But the FBI is now sounding an alarm about an increase in scams involving those online file converters, saying they could cost you if you try cutting corners. The agency said scammers are using those services to load malware onto users' devices and steal information. The online tools will likely do their jobs and generate the file the user wants, the FBI said, but the downloaded file can contain malware that gives scammers access to email addresses, passwords, social security numbers, cryptocurrency information, and other personal identifiers. What users should look for and how to protect yourself. That download could be putting onto your computer or your network some malware, software that would then allow criminals to come back into your network or your computer and conduct further criminal activity such as ransomware attack, said Marvin Massey, an assistant special agent in charge with the FBI's Denver Field Office. Online file converters have been around for years. We asked Massey how long the scam has been on FBI's radar. This is a scam we're seeing across the country and it's becoming rampant, he said. Some of your first signs are when your antivirus software detects malware that's been downloaded to your system, he said. If you're working in a business or an institution, your IT department may contact you because there's a virus or malware that resolves to your machine or some of the actions that you've taken. Another indicator is that if you try to access banking information or other online accounts and notice your passwords have been changed or you see suspicious activity. Prosecuting the criminals behind these scams can be a challenge, Massey said. Not only are they committing the crime from behind a screen, but many are doing so from overseas. The FBI says users should keep their virus scan software up to date and scan files downloaded from the internet before opening it. Additionally, Massey says users should simply slow down and think while using online tools. The one thing that I would ask people to do when they're doing things online is to kind of take a pause before they actually download and use one of these kinds of file converters, he said. If you think you've been a victim of one of these scams, you should change your password on a trusted device and contact your bank. You should also file a formal complaint to the FBI Internet Crime Complaints Center. NASA astronauts Butch and Sonny return to Earth after drawn-out mission in space. NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams returned to Earth in a SpaceX capsule on Tuesday with a soft splashdown off Florida's coast, 9 months after their faulty Boeing Starliner craft upended what was to be a week-long stay on the International Space Station. Their return caps a protracted space mission that was fraught with uncertainty and technical troubles and turned a rare instance of NASA's contingency planning and the latest failure of Boeing Starliner into a global spectacle. Wilmore and Williams, two veteran NASA astronauts and retired U.S. Navy test pilots had strapped inside their Crew Dragon spacecraft along with two other astronauts and undocked from the orbiting laboratory of the ISS at 1:05 a.m. Eastern Time to embark on a 17-hour to Earth. The astronaut pair had launched into space as Starliner's first crew in June for what was expected to be an 8-day test mission, but issues with Starliner's propulsion system led to cascading delays to their return home, culminating in a NASA decision last year to have them take a SpaceX craft back this year as part of the agency's crew rotation schedule. SpaceX Crew Dragon is the United States' only orbital-class crew spacecraft, which Boeing had hoped its Starliner would compete with before the mission with Wilmore and Williams threw its development future into uncertainty. After the splashdown, the astronauts were flown to their crew quarters at the space agency's Johnson Space Center in Houston for several days of health checks per routine for astronaut returns before NASA flight surgeons approved they can go home to their families. Living in space for months can affect the human body in multiple ways, from muscle atrophy to possible vision impairment. Wilmore and Williams have logged 386 days in space on the mission, longer than the average six-month ISS mission length, but far short of U.S. record holder Frank Rubio, his continuous 371 days in space. Ending in 2023 were the unexpected result of a coolant leak on a Russian spacecraft. Williams, capping her third space flight, has tallied 608 cumulative days in space, the second most for any U.S. astronaut after Peggy Whitson's 675 days. Russian cosmonaut Oleg Kononenko set the world record last year at 878 cumulative days. Their replacements arrive on Friday night, and four astronauts as part of NASA's Crew 10 mission that briefly put the station headcount at 11. Wilmore and Williams had been doing scientific research and conducting routine maintenance with the station's other five astronauts. Williams had performed 2 6-hour spacewalks for maintenance outside the ISS, including one with Wilmore. We're back to home. Presenting the IT Pro Series with Benjamin Rockwell.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and this is where we get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, technology, the workplace, and a lot of related items. And the topic that I want to cover for just a few weeks here is something that is continually prevalent in the IT industry, but around all of business, a matter of us and whether we need to end the quote-unquote work-from-home experiment, which at this point, I will tell you, is no longer an experiment. It is actually something that for many companies, they've realized a lot of success through this. They've realized a lot of the upsides to this. And other companies are struggling because they want control, they want power, they want some level of authoritarianism to be implemented over their minions. Wow, did that go dark really quick? I didn't mean for it to go that dark, but I will say that there is a lot of corporate theater out there that is really, I would say, not portraying the best items for luring us back into the office. I'm not going to call this a lie. I'm not going to say that they are that they're going forward and telling us all kinds of different mistruths to guide us into the office. But I'm going to poke some holes in some of the different things that we've heard over the years. Now, as part of this, I want to address the fact that I've been in IT now for well over 30 years. I've been in the business place. I've been all across business in many different facets. of many different industries, all revolving around IT. But I've seen this in small businesses, medium businesses, and large businesses, at least as far as IT. And as we've moved forward, as technology has enabled us to be able to work from home, there are a lot of great things that technology has brought us all the way along through all of this. And yes, there are different reasons why they present that we should go back into the office, even though we've been working from home, many of us, for at least the last 5 years. Now, in my personal case, I did a lot of in-person stuff for years, but then along the way, I did work for a couple of different companies that allowed me some level of remote access to be able to do various things that I needed to do. Along the way, I was on hand for a variety of different things, not from the office, but simply being at home. Oh, you need me to log in and control this server. Great, I can do this. Oh, yeah, I can see that this problem's happening, and I'd fix it. And this is something that I will tell you that the idea that we all must go back into the office, as has been dictated by some of these different companies, even by the government, I'm not sure that that's really the best all the way around. So let's start off with some of the different items that we've heard and my view on them. One of them is how team building happens organically within the office. It's a nice, big, huge wording there. Oh, we need to do this. There is a translation that goes through my mind. It's the idea of we're going to force you into working more hours. You're going to go through, we'll have happy hours and team events and all of this stuff outside of normal hours. Like, I struggle with that. Of course, I struggle with that because I don't like hanging out with a lot of people who may or may not have things in common with me. And yes, okay, so I'm a nerd. I'm a little bit of an oddball, but in reality, all of us are oddballs, and not all of us want to go into some of these team bonding experiences. And just because we're in the same office, we're all breathing the same AC or heating and all of the same air, that doesn't bond us. The best relationships form from mutual respect. They form from actually working with each other and really moving forward. Now, I'm not knocking team builders. I like the idea of team builders so long as it's more of a just casual, let's have fun together. And I will tell you, a lot more of the bonding happens in one-on-one meetings, which don't have to happen in person. We can phone each other. As a matter of fact, we've phoned various coworkers for many years, and we've now got things like a Teams chat or Slack DMs, whatever it is, where we can actually talk to each other. Even during meetings, and we can exchange, and we can share comments, and we can evaluate what's going on, and we can perhaps say, hey, I missed that. Can you help me understand that? And that's during the middle of these meetings. And actually, I will find that I bond better with those casual conversations that happen alongside of those meetings far more than I actually do with some of the meetings that I've been dragged into over the many years of my career, going, why am I even here? There's a lot to this, and I'm going to continue to unpack some of these over the course of the coming weeks. Look, we're going to be coming up with a lot of different things over the course of the coming years, and it's up to you to decide what you take from this and what you leave behind. But at least understand the side of people on both sides of this conversation. This is Benjamin Rockwell. Back to you, Hank.
Thank you, Benjamin. When will it be problem-free to convert Windows 10 to Windows 11? You are running Windows 10, and October 14th is a deadline date for end of its support. You hear and read that the reporting of the latest Windows 11 upgrade, 24H2, has been a stream of upgrade issues. So when is it safe to convert Windows 10 to Windows 11? The following is a detailed summary of Windows 11 24H2 known issues based on provided information. Disk cleanup reporting error. Disk cleanup might incorrectly report the amount of space available for cleanup. Even after cleaning up files, the application may display an incorrect estimate of space still available for cleanup. This is a reporting error and the space is actually freed, but the tool incorrectly lists it as still present. This probably will not be an issue if you do a conversion. AutoCAD 2022 compatibility. AutoCAD 2022 might fail to open after updating to Windows 11 version 24H2. Users experiencing this issue may need to install an update for AutoCAD 2022. After applying the fix, it may take up to 48 hours for the Windows 11 update to be offered again. So if you're running AutoCAD 2022, you probably want to hold off doing a conversion from 10 to 11. Date and time setting issue. Users might not be able to change the time zone in the date and time section of Windows settings. This issue is limited to the Windows settings interface. The time zone can still be changed via the control panel. So this really is not a major issue when you want to convert Windows 10 to Windows 11. The ASUS device update failure. Some ASUS devices encounter a blue screen error during the update process, preventing the installation of Windows 11 version 24H2. Affected devices are currently blocked from receiving the update until the issue is resolved. Well, if you have an ASUS device, this is not the time to do a conversion. Audio output loss on devices with direct audio. That's DIRAC audio. Devices using direct audio with the CRIDSPAPO.DLL might lose audio output after the update. A compatibility hold is in place and affected devices will not be offered the update until the issue is resolved. So if you're using this interface which relies on the DLL, hold off on doing a conversion. There are camera-related application freezing. Some applications may become unresponsive when using the camera. This issue is limited to devices that use object recognition features. If you're dependent on object recognition features, hold off on the conversion. Safe Exam browser incompatibility. The Safe Exam browser application might fail to open on devices running version 3.7 or lower. These versions are incompatible with Windows 11 version 24H2. Updating the application to a newer version may resolve the issue. Well, you may want to go ahead with the conversion or you may not want to if you're using the Safe Exam browser. And then there's the Easy anti-cheat driver issues. Devices using older versions of Easy anti-cheat drivers may stop responding and encounter a blue screen. Updating the Easy anti-cheat driver should resolve this issue. So if you're into gaming, if you update the driver sheet, you shouldn't have any problems at all. There's wallpaper customization applications. They might not work as expected. A compatibility hold is in place. Updating the affected applications may resolve the issue. Well, the wallpaper itself, if it's an issue, use a different wallpaper. Or if you opt not to use a different wallpaper, well, you'll have to wait until the issues resolve. There's the Intel Smart Sound Technology driver issues. Devices with affected Intel Smart Sound drivers might encounter a blue screen error. A compatibility hold is in place until the issues resolve. So if you're dependent on the Intel Smart Sound Technology, hold off on doing the conversion. And finally, asphalt and freezing. Asphalt 8 might periodically stop responding, causing exceptions. A compatibility hold has been applied to safeguard the update experience. If you're using Asphalt 8, hold off on it. It is safe to convert from Windows 10 to Windows 11 if these 11 open issues will not affect you. Buying refurbished equipment online. Save some cash and keep perfectly good devices in circulation. Buying refurbished is obviously easier on your wallet, sometimes saving you hundreds of dollars over buying new. It's also far easier on the environment. Since the majority of devices' environmental impact happens in the manufacturing process, plus buying refurbished is more efficient than recycling electronics and keeps the device out of the e-waste stream for a little longer. There's no regulation for what constitutes refurbished tech, but it's often a level or two above used items you buy off a guy on the street. Refurbished usually means a device has undergone some combination of testing, cleaning and repair, often all three, and it should perform as if it were new, with only minor scuffs to indicate its past life. But some outlets aren't as trustworthy as others when it comes to refurbished options. There are a few recommendations for places to find refurbished tech that all have documented processes for how they handle the process. Get something as close to new as possible. What to consider when buying refurbished devices? Refurbished is not the same as used. Used items tend to be sold as is, which means you're simply inheriting whatever mileage and quirks a device had when the previous owner said goodbye to it. It's true that most refurbished items were previously owned, and many are a result of a growing trend of trading in your old device when you upgrade. But others were hardly used at all and are one of a millions of returns generated each year. Either way, a properly refurbished item has undergone testing to verify that it works, along with cleaning, repairs, and other parts replacement as needed. Since there is no government regulation for renewed items, it's up to the sellers to define what steps they take to ready a device for sale, and it's up to the buyers to find out what those steps are before taking the plunge. The processes for refurbishing devices from original manufacturers, for example, include cleaning, inspection, parts replacement as needed, and shipment in a new box with the originally supplied accessories, and they also all provide a one-year warranty at minimum. A refurbished device should perform as well as its new counterpart, but the only way to guarantee that's the case is to make sure it comes with a warranty. Also, a good return policy would let you send the item back, preferably with the same free shipping a new item gets, for any reason, including that you just change your mind. That way, if a refurbished product doesn't look as good as you thought it would, you could send it back without having to prove there's something wrong with it. Most refurbished tech was used before it made its way back on the market, and while renewed items are clean, you still need to consider your comfort with sanitation issues when buying things. We recommend going directly to the manufacturer whenever possible, especially for more technical items like smartphones and laptops. If you need a new MacBook, check out Apple's refurbished stock first. If you want a new Galaxy phone, go to Samsung before anyone else and check on what they have available. Repairs will be handled using genuine parts, and you're far more likely to get items that were properly unpaired from the original owner and all data wiped. Presenting Technology Chatter with Benjamin Rockwell and Marty Winston.
Marty Winston joins me now. And Marty, what do you have for us this week?
Well, let's start with a projector that's kind of cool. This is from BenQ. It's their X500i console gaming projector with built-in Android TV. Now, if you've got Wi-Fi, Android TV lets you watch a lot of streaming. The X500i from the BenQ series gaming projector family sports 2200 lumen brightness.
Okay.
It's a 4K ultra-high def projector with HDR, which is high dynamic range, several game modes. It is not ultra show, no ultra, just short throw. So if you've got a 100-inch wall or a screen 5 feet away or 150-inch at 9 feet,
okay,
the picture's there. It has vertical and horizontal keystone correction. Trapezoidal thing, right?
Yeah.
Got some symmetrical placement of 5-watt built-in speakers for good spatial audio. It's got 20,000-hour life expectancy for its 4-LED light source.
Okay.
That's 2 years and 3 months. If you're there 24/7, I don't know any shows that are that good. But you can get up to 30,000 hours in the eco mode, all in a total unit that measures less than 5 by 10 by 15 inches, weighs less than 8 pounds, and it's about $1,500.
Okay. That sounds pretty cool. I go back. One of the first projectors I was involved with purchasing was back in 98 or so. Oh, 19 so already electric, is rough, but
electric arc and
it put out 800 lumens, and from memory, I think we paid somewhere around $12,000 to $15,000 for it. Yeah, that was back when you had to have a specialty guy come out.
I've got about 20 flashlights to put out that much. I'm going to get that money out of you back then. Speaking of things that can get hot.
Okay.
The best toaster I've ever reviewed, and we reviewed it here, is the RevCook R180, the Connect Plus. It's a superlative toaster, got more modes and more adjustments than you can imagine. It will accurately predict the color of the toast at the setting you have there.
Okay.
Different kinds of bread, swirl bread, different size bagels, all that, right? Well, it's the smartest toaster we've ever seen. It's on screen settings, just brilliant, perfect. Agile, everything, but there were two significant accessories for it that they hadn't gotten to me at the time.
Yeah.
I've had a chance to use them. Oh boy. The first is their panini frame. It is marvelous.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I had a grilled cheese at lunch using that.
Nice.
You just put your sandwich in it, clamp it in. The whole frame slides in one of the toaster slots. There's a specific mode for it. You choose your doneness, and it comes out and whistles at you. You come and get it, and you've got the stripes on. It's just gorgeous. It's delicious and gorgeous. Now, by the way, I no longer pull out a frying pan when I need grilled cheese.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That actually is probably pretty good because you're not using as much oil or butter with it. So
absolutely true. Now the other thing that it came with, and this is just connect the dots, stupid brilliant.
Yeah,
is a warming rack, and it fits some other toasters too. That goes over the top with kind of grill wires. So if you want to warm a muffin or a pastry that you got,
okay,
you put it on there, you choose that mode on the toaster, and
it brings it up to a nice warm level versus the full toasting it and you're not
putting it in a slot. It's up top, like campfire warm.
Yes, exactly.
Now the toasty press is about $80, the warming rack about $30.
Okay.
I have to say that projector gets a little warm, but
how warm does it get?
You can touch it, you can hold it.
Okay, but it's not a comfy warm
like holding it over the top of the toaster. Let me get one more thing in about a minute.
Sure.
The Earfun Air Pro 4 Ultra ANC automatic noise canceling earbuds.
Yeah.
Now, if you just use earbuds as harvesting machines for making earwax candles, these are on the other end of the spectrum.
Okay.
There's adaptive automatic noise canceling, lossless audio, sweat and water resistance. They can wirelessly charge, connect to multiple devices all day, meaning 11 hours on a full charge.
Okay.
And there's some tricks in it that improve call quality. Does that sound like fun? These are Earfun Air Pro 4 Buds. I'm seeing them online for $90. Okay. By the way, That 11-hour charge is something their case can renew. It's a rechargeable case to a rated total of 41 hours. And there's only one reason to be on the phone that long when you're on hold for technical support.
Yeah, that's about accurate. I've been there many times. Not so much with the earwax thing. Although when you said that, the images of the movie Shrek came to mind as, you know, he's building the candle up, just pulls it out of his ear and just drops it there. Oh man. So we got in a lot there, a projector and some toaster accessories and earbuds.
It's a busy day for us.
Yeah, sounds like it. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. Back to you, Hank.
Thank you, Benjamin, and thank you, Marty. TCF 2025 is Saturday, March the 29th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The theme for this year is Fun with Technology. The keynote speaker is Dale Dougherty, founder of Make Magazine and the Worldwide Maker Faires. He'll be speaking on After 20 Years, the Maker Movement is Still Fun. The website is tcf-nj.org for listing of scheduled talks and events. Public service announcements. Computer club meetings in the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut tri-state region. Log on to the club website for more information on remote meeting ID. The Brookdale Computer Users Group meets Thursday, March the 27th. Meeting time is 6:45 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Zoom. And the website is bcug.com. TED-Ed Connect meets the first Tuesday of each month. And the next meeting is on Tuesday, April the 1st. Meeting time is 7 p.m. It's a hybrid meeting. They will meet at the Scarsdale Public Library, located at 54 Olmsted Road in Scarsdale, New York, and they will be online virtual meeting via Zoom. Website is wpcug.org. The Amateur Computer Group of New Jersey has its meeting on Friday, April the 4th. Meeting time is 8 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Jitsi, acgnj.org. The King's Byte Computer Club meets Tuesday, April the 8th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. Park Plaza Restaurant, 220 Cadman Plaza West in Brooklyn. Phone number to confirm is 347-278-7320. The New York Amateur Computer Club meets Thursday, April the 10th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Zoom. And the website is nyacc.org. The Long Island Macintosh Users Group meets Friday, April the 11th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Zoom. And their website is limac.org. Our website is pcradioshow.org. We are heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN, live streaming on the Internet. Podcast of the program is available on prn.live on the Internet. If you have any questions for us, just send us an email addressed to hank@pcradioshow.org. In the meantime, stay in touch and remember to do regular backups. I'm Hank Key, and on behalf of Michael Horowitz, Benjamin Rockwell, and Marty Winston, we thank you for listening. Stay safe and healthy until we meet again, same time, same station next week.